Laughs in flowers. That is a poetic exclamation by the American Unitarian and literary figure, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Flowers are powerful things. They change the world of nature by giving us fruits and seeds. They are powerful, and they are also beautiful, and they are fragile, like the lives of our great heroes and like our own lives. Each spring, many of our Unitarian Universalist churches have a flower communion service, as we are doing here today. We are each asked to bring a flower to add to the communal vases. At the end of the service, we distribute the flowers gathered from each of us back to each of us. We take from the vases one of the flowers someone else brought, symbolizing the fact that each one of us not only brings the gift of ourselves and our contributions to this church, but we also take with us the diverse gifts of others in this religious community. The traditional flower communion service is also conducted in remembrance of a special person in our Unitarian heritage, Dr. Norbert Čapek, the founder of the Unitarian movement in Czechoslovakia. It was Dr. Čapek who conducted the first flower communion service on June 4th, 1923. I think I said 24 earlier, 1923. I would like to spend a few moments telling you a little about this unique person's life. In the 1870s and 80s, when Norbert Čapek was a young boy, his father told him stories of the early Roman Catholic Church, the leaders of that church in his native Czechoslovakia, which was then under the rule of the Austro-Hungarian Emperor. Norbert also heard these stories from his father about the former days of Czechoslovakia's independence. So these two interests, religion and nationalism, spawned in the young mind of Norbert. He decided he would become a church leader, and he began by assisting village priests in conducting mass and making parish calls. One day, a friend invited Norbert to attend a prayer meeting at a Baptist church. Norbert was very impressed. Unlike the Catholic Church with its pomp and ceremony and its set ritual mass, which tended to, in his experience, be conducted in a perfunctory manner by the priests, the Baptist service, he found, was conducted without a set ritual by a minister who obviously believed deeply in what he was saying and doing. So Norbert Čapek soon had his name struck from the rolls of Catholicism, and he proceeded to get himself baptized as a Baptist. And he went off to Budapest on a missionary assignment. He attended the university and the Baptist seminary in Habsburg, and then he became minister of a large Baptist church in Saxony. Later, he founded several churches in Moravia, and eventually, because of his administrative and preaching skills, he became superintendent over all the Baptist churches in all Austro-Hungary, which were missionary outposts of the Southern Baptists of the United States. But Čapek's continually inquiring mind kept working, and eventually some Orthodox members of his congregation reported to his Southern Baptist superiors in the U.S. that he had been preaching heretically, much too liberally. He was called before church councils to answer these charges several times. During these days, a Moravian professor told Čapek that he sounded like a Unitarian. Čapek became intrigued when the professor introduced him to Charles Wendt, the Secretary of Foreign Relations for the American Unitarian Association. But it was a number of years before he had any further contact with Unitarianism. Meanwhile, Čapek left his Baptist pulpit and became a journalist. But even in this field, he got himself into some trouble. In 1914, he wrote a column predicting war in Europe. And after this, a friendly police commissioner warned him that he had incurred the wrath of the Austrian powers that be, and that he was on their blacklist. The police commissioner advised Čapek to leave the country before he was thrown in prison. He left for the U.S. and resumed his Baptist ministry among the Slovaks in Manhattan. But once again, church authorities objected to his liberal preaching. And again, he quit his ministry and went into journalism. After several unpleasant experiences his children had in local Baptist churches and church schools, they were sent to a Unitarian church. They came home one Sunday from the East Orange, New Jersey Unitarian Church and told their father about the exciting discussion they had had that day in the Unitarian Sunday School. Čapek was intrigued with his children's report, and he decided to attend the church himself the following Sunday. He realized that he had finally found his religious home among Unitarians. Soon thereafter, he accepted a call by the American Unitarian Association to return to Czechoslovakia to help promote the cause of liberal religion. He sailed to Hamburg just after the war, and in 1922, he founded a Unitarian church. He called it the Free Religious Fellowship, and this was in Prague. It started with a membership of 40 people, and the following year, Čapek introduced the simple and beautiful flower communion service to the congregation. This really caught on. Over the next few years under Čapek's leadership, the membership swelled to over 5,000 members from the initial group of 40. And like a flower going to seed, the Prague congregation seeded churches in five other cities. Čapek became head of the Unitarian churches in Czechoslovakia. As for the symbolism of the flower communion service, these words were written by Čapek's wife Maja, explaining why Čapek created the service that we celebrate today. She wrote, "Čapek's only motivation was to stress and bring about brotherhood. As a symbol, he used flowers because in the name of a flower or flowers, no wars were waged, as was the case with the cross or the chalice. The flowers are used as symbols of the gifts which each person can make to the church and through the church to other persons. Because of the large variety, each person is able to express individuality, just as these flowers do. The exchange of flowers means that I shall walk without reservation with anyone, regardless of social status or former religious affiliation." So those were his wife's words. His wife was also eventually ordained into the ministry, as was his daughter. After almost two decades of ministry to his congregation, a sad thing happened to Norbert Čapek. In the spring of 1941, the Nazi Secret Service came to Chapek's door, and he was arrested for his liberal preaching and his nationalistic spirit. He was taken to Dresden, where he was charged with high treason for, official words, trying through his sermons and addresses to incite a revolution against the Reich. That was his charge. And for another offense, listening to foreign radio broadcasts, a crime that was punishable by death. With the help of a lawyer, the charges of high treason for his sermons supporting Czech freedom were dropped, but he was found guilty of listening to radio broadcasts. Local authorities sentenced him to 1 year in prison, but shortly after Čapek's arrest, a prominent SS member was assassinated by a group of Czech freedom fighters, and as a result, Gestapo headquarters in Prague stepped up their harsh discipline, and thousands of Czechs were either executed or, as in Čapek's case, they were sent to Dachau. In the Dachau concentration camp, Norbert Čapek composed songs for the prisoners to sing, and he would lead them in marching around the barbed wire fences, singing at the top of their voices. After a brief tolerance of this behavior, the Nazis finally took Čapek to another section of the camp, the dreaded medical section, where in 1942 he died from their experimental injections. While he was at the Dresden camp, Čapek composed the following lines. The translation is by Čapek's daughter, who is, as I mentioned, also a minister. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. O blow, ye evil winds, into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the flight, and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul, my life was worth living. Although Norbert Čapek died tragically, his life really was a celebration. He wrote hundreds of hymns, one of them we just sang a few moments ago, and he created dozens of rituals like the Flower Communion. I can picture him in that concentration camp, getting everyone to sing and to march around, even in that dismal setting. We can imagine that because he got his fellow prisoners to sing, that he was keeping their spirits up, and perhaps because of this, some of them survived. And his memory certainly survives in the Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist Flower Communion services the world over, when we bring together and share the beauty of this colorful laughter of the earth, these flowers, and we remember him.